Open your Bible, Matthew chapter 26, verse 20 through 25. Today's message title is Lord. Matthew chapter 26, verse 20 through 25. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." The most important thing for human being is to know God, not figments of man's imagination or the silent, breathless false gods carved out by the hands of sculptors. The most important thing for human being is to know the one and only Lord God Almighty, who created the heavens, the earth, and all things. At the same time, it is equally important to know that in the presence of this one God, we human beings are sinners, and even if we want to have a right relationship with God, we are beings who can never have it by our own strength, and because we cannot have a right relationship with God, no matter what we do, we are empty, unfulfilled, consumed, afraid of death, and destined to perish eventually. What is even more important to know that God, through love, forgiveness, and reconciliation, has rescued us sinners from perdition by making sacrifices that are incomprehensible, even if you turn heaven and earth upside down. Rather than accepting that we as sinners should be empty, unfulfilled. What is more impossible than anything else is that the only way to redeem us sinners is for God Himself to lay down His life in our place. This means that God Himself will destroy the providence, order, and laws that He has established. It may sound easy to say in word, but it is not possible, it is not necessary, and it should not happen. Compared to this impossible thing, Big Bang is insignificant and trivial. The universe, which is so big that we cannot even measure its size accurately, is so small and tiny that it is impossible. Nevertheless, God took the form of a human being and was born as a human being, suffered as a human being, shed his blood as human being, tore himself apart as a human being, and died as a human being, so that we could easily understand him. The one who is God became a man and died as a substitute for sin for many people. This one and only God is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a myth or old story or really just a religious story. It is a fact. It is a historical fact, a fact of nature, a fact of all things in the world. It's nothing but the truth. It is truth. Because it is true, countless people, both famous and unknown people, have devoted their entire lives to telling the truth. If it wasn't true, it was not true, I myself would not have said such a thing. Even though I have a wife, 4 children, and my father and mother risked their lives to raise me. The salvation of Lord Jesus Christ is the real thing, the truth with nothing to compare it to. It is not a religion. To be honest with you, I don't like religion. I don't like religions because they don't have salvation. There is no salvation in religion. There is in salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Bible says, there is no salvation under heaven, nor can it be found in anyone else. And the day before the Lord Jesus was finally crucified due to man's stubborn, sluggish, and black sinful emotions and deeds, he had his last dinner with his 12 disciples with whom he had been walking for 3 years. Jesus knew that this would be the last dinner he would have with his disciples, but the disciples didn't know. They had no idea that this was going to be their last dinner with Jesus. They could not understand or accept that Jesus was going to die on the cross to pay for the sins of many people. On at least 3 occasions, Jesus had told his disciples that he would be delivered into the hands of the people, killed and raised 3 days later as the price of redemption for many people and to give them eternal life. I didn't talk about it as if it was a light talk. Many people surrounded him, followed him, and listened to him, his words, but only to the 12 disciples. He spoke seriously, honestly about the crucifixion and resurrection, and that this was the reason why the Lord Jesus came to this earth. But the disciples did not understand, nor did they want to understand, and finally they denied it, saying, "How can there be such a foolish story?" They had no way of knowing. But Jesus, unlike the disciples, came to the table for the last dinner with determination. And here's what happens. As I remember from a talk given by Pastor Yongi Park of Shin Sapporo Bible Church, who was one of our tea time lecturers, when we eat, we do not We open our hearts, we speak our minds, and our true selves come out. And at this last dinner, without exception, the true nature of the disciples came out, and without the meal was especially special, as it was held in a splendid hall, which was unexpected and a little exciting. Maybe it was easier than usual to show what was inside their hearts and their true nature. At the dinner table, the disciples called out to Jesus as they always did, but the casual way they called out to him revealed their innermost thoughts and feelings. 11 of 12 disciples called Jesus Lord, but there was one person who did not call him Lord, but Rabbi. At first glance, both Lord and the Rabbi seem to be the same, but there is huge difference between Lord and Rabbi. The disciple who called Jesus Rabbi instead of Lord was Judas, who betrayed Jesus. At what was supposed to be an unusually special and enjoyable meal, Jesus said to his disciple something they had never expected. One of you is betraying me. For a moment, the air must have been stunned, not knowing what Jesus was talking about. Oh, what was that? I guess. What kind of words are you saying to us who have eaten and slept together for past 3 years, who have experienced both the good and the bad, and who have worked together, even though it has been hard to do great things in the future? We are all filled with sense of sadness. They must have been filled with feeling of Jesus, I've been able to ignore most things but not this. How can you be so heartless? Verse 22, they were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." The disciples may have been filled with an indescribable feeling of wondering what all the trouble they had gone through. With great sadness, one by one, they appealed to Jesus. "No, I am not. I don't agree and understand Jesus' words." I was filled with disappointment. "What the hell are you talking about?" But still, all of them, except one, called Jesus Lord. As I mentioned earlier, at a dinner table, it is easy for what is inside a person's heart to come out in a natural way, but here too, it was so natural that they didn't feel uncomfortable at all. This is well expressed in the call to Jesus, Lord. No matter how hard it is to understand Jesus' words, no matter how heartless Jesus' words seem, no matter how dismayed Jesus' words seem, no matter how angry Jesus' words seem, no matter how sad and sorrowful Jesus' words seem, the 11 disciples called out to Jesus, Lord. Thinking of that feeling brings tears to my eyes. If you look at the Psalm, Old Testament, you will see many such words. Oh Lord, there are so many places where we called out to God. Oh Lord, even when we can't understand, cannot accept, cannot find a solution to, or are in situation that is so sad, painful, or that we can not even sigh. No matter how hard it is to understand, no matter how sad, no matter how cold Jesus is, still the Lord to the 11 disciples. For the disciples, Jesus is the master to whom they entrust their entire lives, their entire personalities, and to whom they cannot live without depending on. The word Lord in the context referred to The word master in this context refers to master-slave relationship. In other words, the relationship between master and slave. The slave is property of the master. In the Bible, God's word commands us to respect the human rights of slaves. But if we follow the usual practice of the world, our status as slaves is destined to be controlled by our masters. To the disciples, Jesus is still the Lord. The name of Jesus, which the disciples blurted out unintentionally, shows the attitude and those of 11 towards Jesus. On the other hand, disciples who did not call Jesus Lord until the very end last was Judah of Iscariot. Judah called Jesus Rabbi. At first glance, we might think, what's wrong with calling him Rabbi? However, the name Lord and the name Rabbi are very similar. But very different. The intention behind the name Rabbi was to appear outwardly respectful and to convey to the world that they were educated people who could maintain civility, far from the barbarism of malice. Let's look at verse 15. Then Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are the man of integrity, that you teach the way of God in accordance with truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me?" And verse 35, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." He cloaked his malice by calling him teacher. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, Herodians, and the scribes all call him teacher in order to trap him and test him, while also being concerned about worldly appearance. The Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, and to top it all off, when Judas Iscariot sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and came with crowd to get him, the name he read about Jesus was teacher. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with sword and clubs, sent from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kissed is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greeting, Rabbi," and kiss him. He put on a cool face, hiding his malice, pretending to be respectful of Jesus, as if to show the people around him, "I'm a cool person who doesn't harbor such a barbaric malice." He called the man he sold out Jesus, "Teacher," Rabbi, meaning Rabbi, and even kissed him on mouth. This is the scary thing about us humans and the cleverness of our sin. We can have evil intentions and carry them out with an innocent look on our face, with smile on our face, with a cool look on our face, with air composure. Not only adults, but children can do it too. Rabbi is the name of the game. The idea behind the name Rabbi may be similar to that of a sharpened and refined blade that shines beautifully, but its purpose is to cut people to Judah. Jesus is just a tool that He wears as if he were beautiful, shiny sword to show off his power. And if Jesus doesn't shine the way he wants, he can always give it up and replace it. In fact, Judah had been disillusioned with Jesus many times before. Judah had been try to force Jesus, who is God, into his one narrow way of thinking, and all that comes out is this illusionment. That's why until the very end he couldn't call Jesus Lord, but only teacher. Until teacher means rabbi. Until the very end, to Judah, Jesus was not Lord, but only teacher. He may be a great man. He could be a mysterious person. He may have great wisdom and knowledge. He may be full of compassion, and he may even be stern at times. And he may have an extraordinary balance. But at the end of the day, he is no more than one of the four saints of the world. Judah was also a very capable person, so to speak. As a financier, he was able to make calm decisions, point out the right things, and analyze. He said to the woman who poured oil equivalent to his annual income on Jesus, "What a waste of money! If she had sold it, she could have given it to the poor." He was able to come up with a good argument, saying without hesitation, and point out exactly what common sense would consider to be a mistake. But he was not impressed. No matter if Jesus fed 10,000 people full of food without a cent, calmed raging storm, or filled the words he spoke with truth, it doesn't matter. There is no emotion, then there is no growth. No growth means that we are dead. If you are dead, you cannot call Jesus Lord, but only teacher. This is because only in the Lord Jesus is there true life. Is Jesus Lord or teacher to you? At the end of his life, Judah, who could only call Jesus teacher, regretted that he had sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and with that regret, he hanged himself and committed suicide as if he were cleaning up after himself. He was not a stranger to Jesus. He had eaten and slept with Jesus for 3 years. He had seen what Jesus had done closest to him, and he had heard what Jesus had said closest to him. But in the end, what he relied on was his own strength, and what he tried to build up was his own pride. At first glance, Judah's suicide may seem like a graceful way to end his life, but Jesus did not want this in the slightest, until very end, Judah thought he had settled the matters in his own way, in his own time. But this was not the end. The way Jesus wanted Judah to settle the matter was to repent. Repentance and regret are two completely different things. Repentance can be done by anyone. But repentance can only be done by those who call out to Jesus, Lord. Peter repented with tears in his eyes. For Peter, betrayed Jesus was not something he could keep in his mind beyond regret. He repented of turning his back on Jesus, turned his face to God again, and bowed down. Anyone can repent. But repentance can only be done with faith and prompting of Holy Spirit. Later in Acts, Peter preached a sermon saying, "It was you, sinners, who crucified Jesus." And when 3,000 people who were moved by his sermon and wanted to believe in Jesus asked, "What should we do?" And he said, repent. It is not regret. In other words, faith is also repentance. Repentance is when you repent and quit turning your back on God. Repentance is the grace that allow us to honestly, openly expose our hollowness before God without shame. There is blessing in repentance, not regret. There is grace. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you sent the Lord Jesus to show us a love we couldn't understand even and he tore himself apart to show us his love. I come to this place in my body with my thoughts and drive with walking, but please remind us that all of this is your love and grace. Let us remember and repent of your love and blessings in my body. I want to walk in repentance before you, not in regret, tasting your blessings, and please make me repent. May you pour out your rich blessings on the sacrament after this. Thank you, your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.